Hi, everybody. I'm Jack Wheeler, and I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober by the grace of God and the 36 spiritual principles of Alcoholics Anonymous since January 1st, 2004, and for that I'm very grateful. And Myers, thank you. I didn't stand in line. I went and prayed for you guys. it's funny because Tim asked me to do this probably a year ago. And he said, can you do something on the traditions or whatever you want? And that's free license for me. I get to talk about whatever I want. And but it's funny because I do a bit of this. And I don't get nervous when I'm asked to do it. I get nervous when I walk from there to here. And I'm nervous till I open my mouth. And then I'm good. But this one's different. And I was sharing that with a good friend of mine from Nashville, and he said, Jack, that's because it's a home game. And it is, man. This is one of my home conferences. I was taught a long time ago to do regular things regularly in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that means talk to my sponsor regularly, sponsor guys regularly, answer my phone regularly, show up to conferences regularly, and participate. And this is one of my regular conferences. I've been coming here a long time, and I love the guys. I love the message that's here. Thank you. Now you know why it's one of my regular conferences regularly. If you're waiting for the dance, it'll happen right after I'm done talking. You'll know the disco ball will go off, the lights will go low, and don't worry, if it's your first time here, we will approach you. You don't have to approach us. So this conference is special. I know a lot of the men here, and my sponsor, Don Maloney, helped start this thing. And I'd like to say he gave me a choice, but he had a really bad, poor direction and told me to get in the truck, and we came here. And I've been coming ever since. Somebody just read the traditions. I'm not going through the traditions one at a time. I'm not going to talk about the concepts one at a time. What I want to do is talk about my experience with them. And hopefully it lights fire in you. And talk to me afterwards. Call me. I'm happy to take the guys through this work. But I was probably 8 months sober. And I was a GSR for my home group. And I went to the summer assembly in Estes Park in Colorado, representing my group. And I need to tell you a little bit about who I am. I came to my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I was taken by a school counselor when I was 13 years old. And it didn't take. He just had gray hair, and I saw all the differences, because that's what alcoholism does to us. My ego separates me from you every chance it gets. And by the time I was 12 or 13, I was in big trouble. And by the time I was 18, I OD'd in the park in Aspen, because when you drink enough Crown Royal, it's really difficult to measure the cocaine. And I almost died, and I ended up in Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 18 years old in Aspen, Colorado. I went into a group, and what you're going to find out is that the old-timers in Alcoholics Anonymous can't hear. This guy would come up to me after the Tuesday night meeting. He'd say to me, hey, Jack, we're going to the prison on Friday night to take a meeting. Do you want to come? I would say, no, Bruce, I'm very busy on Friday night. I do not want to go to the prison. Thank you very much. And the next week would roll around, and the meeting would end, and he asked me the same question. He did this for like 8 weeks. And finally I said to him, I said, yeah, I'll go, just to shut him up. And he showed up, and he picked me up, and he told me where to be on Friday afternoon to meet him. And I'm standing on the corner, and he comes rolling up in a minivan full of you guys smiling. I don't want to get in a minivan full of you guys smiling. And it's not high on my to-do list. It's a lot like coming to hang out with 300 guys in Texas. I'd rather not. Thank you. And I got in that minivan. We went to the prison. It was a real prison. And we cleared the gun towers. And the guys that I went with were laughing all the way through. And we're walking down along the cell block. And from the third floor window, I hear somebody yell out, "Hey, Wheeler!" And I almost fainted right there. I was shocked. And Bruce, without missing a beat, he said, "You're in the right place," and kept walking. And he was right. I was in the right place. I still take meetings in the correctional facilities today. I was in a jail 2 weeks ago, and they let me out. They were happy to see me when I got there. And so I still do that. I can tell you that man took me through the steps. I had a spiritual awakening. I started sponsoring guys. I had a home group. And I don't know if it was year 7 or 8, but I got all the stuff back. You know, I married my wife. I had the house. I had the business. I had the trucks. I had the stuff. And I had kids. And I had all this stuff, and things changed. And I can tell you that I was driving to my home group on a Tuesday night, and I'm cruising down the Frying Pan River, which is this magnificent fishing river. I'm an avid fly fisherman. And I think to myself, there's a hatch coming off. It's the hatch. It's the Green Drake hatch, and I think I should go fish. And I pulled over, and I fished, and I didn't go to my home group. You know what happened to me when I didn't go to my home group? Nothing. I went fishing. And 2 weeks later, I'm driving down that same road, and the same hatch is coming off, and it's epic. And I think to myself, I should fish. And I pulled over, and I fished, and I didn't go to the Thursday night meeting. You know what happened to me when I didn't go to the Thursday night meeting? Nothing. I went fishing. The insidious nature of this thing is when the veil of alcoholism is dropping down around my eyes one more time, I can't see it. I can see it on you. I can't see it on me. And I slowly unplugged from Alcoholics Anonymous, and at 13 years, I drank again. And I can tell you that's available here. You know, I'm the guy, I went through all the steps. The man, Myers was talking about my lineage when he was up here. I was sponsored by a man that was sponsored by Don Pritz. He took me through the work. I had a spiritual awakening. And I turned my back on it. And I didn't know I was doing it. It happened. We're all here this weekend because we can't, Myers said it too, we can't feed ourselves. If I could feed this thing to myself, I'd be at home right now. And I'd like to tell you, with all my knowledge of the book, I sponsored a bunch of guys. I could tell you exactly how to do a fourth step. I could tell you exactly what it says in our textbook about a fourth step. I could tell you what it says about the fifth. I could tell you exactly what the fifth step promises are. I could go through how to make amends with you. I could tell you what it says in the book if you can't see them. I could tell you sometimes you can't set it straight. I could tell you what the discipline said. And I'd like to tell you, with all my knowledge of the book, that I came running back to you. I was out for 10 years because I'm powerless over alcohol. I suffer the phenomenon of craving coupled with that. You know, we talk about the mental obsession here. What it is for me is the mental insanity. It's insanity that I can be standing in the burning wreckage of my own life, and this thing between my ears will convince me that it's okay to take a drink again. And there's nothing. That peace, that mental insanity, that obsession of the mind, that's all that Alcoholics Anonymous treats. We get separated from alcohol a million different ways. Punch a cop, you'll get separated from alcohol. You know, it's true. We don't deal with that piece, and yes, we do. As members of Alcoholics Anonymous, we deal with it a lot. I dealt with it 2 weeks ago. But there's a lot of ways we get separated. How do you stay separated? That's the thing that's killing us. And what I found, I came back in. I'm not going to get into my story. I came back into Alcoholics Anonymous 10 years later. And I worked the program today like my life depends on it. And I can make that statement. And I can also tell you that it's been a long time since I went to a meeting because I needed a meeting. It's not the driving force in my life. I go to meetings because it's my spiritual responsibility to carry this message. That's it. yeah, I get the benefits. I get the results. You know, we talk about what I want to talk about today tonight is where we are today in AA. And to give you a little bit of background of how I know some of this, I was a DCM for my district. I was probably 2 years sober. And I had a business trip to New York. And I flew into New York, and I don't know why, I'm from Colorado. But I flew into New York, and the night I got there was 2 inches of snow in New York City. Apparently, they shut the city down with 2 inches of snow. And all the guys that were coming in from all the other places for the business meeting that I had didn't make it because they shut everything down. And I went downstairs, and I got in a cab. And I told the guy to take me to Riverside Drive. And I went to the General Service office. I just showed up. I didn't have an appointment. I just wanted to check it out. And I walked in there, and they stopped everything they were doing. Everything. And they gave me the swag bag, and they told me when the meeting was that day, and invited me to come to the meeting that day. They took me around the General Service office and introduced me to every single person in the office. They took me back to the accounting department and introduced me to everybody in the accounting department. And then they opened up the archives and they said, "How about it?" And I spent 3 hours going through our archives. It's not enough time, by the way. And when you walk into the archives, they've remodeled it since I was there, but when you walk into the archives then, there was a glass-lined cabinet on the left-hand wall. And it had all the languages the Big Book had been translated into. And it was stunning. It just unfolded for me how big this thing really is, how important this thing really is. And I left there, not a real quick study, but the next day, I was thinking about it. And I realized that they treated me like if it was a corporation. They greeted me like the owner was in town. That's what they did. They treated me like I'm the owner. And I have news for you. We are the owners. We own this thing. You know, I think we're currently in a flying blind period in Alcoholics Anonymous. I really do. It started when COVID hit. You know, but did GSO call someone at your home group and say, "Hey, get on Zoom"? They didn't at my home group. Tim and I walked out of our home group after they locked the doors, and we said to each other, "I'm never going to a meeting online." It's not Alcoholics Anonymous. And 2 days later, I'm sitting in my office with my daughter teaching me how to get on Zoom. And we've been on Zoom ever since. I got a guy here that I started sponsoring 4 years ago. He heard me talk at some Zoom meeting, and he called me up afterwards and he said, "I need a new experience. Been around a while." You know? The first time I've ever met him was yesterday, and he showed up here. We know each other. You know, we've gone through that process together. We're transformed, you know. And we talk about sponsorship like it's this one-way ticket, man. God never put two of us together to help just one. Ever. Excuse me. And so we're the owners. And when I felt that in my soul, something clicked. And when I was at that assembly that I was telling you about, I'm sitting in there, I'm 8 months sober, and this guy gets up to the microphone on Saturday night, and he's the Saturday night speaker at the assembly. He's the entertainment for the weekend. And he says, "My name's Bill F., and I've been sober by the grace of God and the 36 spiritual principles of Alcoholics Anonymous since whenever, whatever the date." And I'm sitting in there with a guy that I had sobered up with when I had the 13 years. And he's 20 years sober, 25 years sober, whatever it is. He's sitting next to me on this side. And I leaned over to him. And remember, I was in Alcoholics Anonymous for a long time. And I lean over to him and I say, what the hell are the 36 spiritual principles of Alcoholics Anonymous? He's 20, 25 years sober. He said, I don't know. And the guy on this side of me had 10 years. And I leaned over to him and I said, what the hell are the 36 spiritual principles of Alcoholics Anonymous? And he said, I don't know. And I didn't know. And the amazing thing was, I didn't hear a word that speaker said because I was just thinking about myself and that the whole time. And but I went up to that speaker afterwards and I thanked him for his talk. I didn't hear it, but I thanked him. And then I said, what are the 36 spiritual principles of Alcoholics Anonymous? And he said, Jack, they're the steps, the traditions, and the concepts. And if you're conscious, they're applicable. And I was on fire with an experience in the steps. I was on fire with this thing. And he said, if you're interested, I'll take you through them. And I said, okay. And he did. He took me through them. And he didn't take me through them. He said to me, he said, I want you to buy the 12 and 12, the service manual, and a piece of Al-Anon literature called Path to Recovery. And he said, the Path to Recovery book has the steps and the traditions in it. He said, don't look at the steps. Steps aren't for you. And what do you think I did? I'm sitting in my office and I'm going through the steps in Al-Anon literature. And it was funny because I actually went to the local clubhouse, stole a piece of Al-Anon literature called Blueprint for Recovery, and I started doing a fourth step in Al-Anon. And I'm sitting at my desk, not following this guy's direction. And it comes to a question. The question was, when was the last time you bought yourself a gift? And I just started laughing out loud. It was like yesterday. And I called my wife, who's an active member of Al-Anon, and I shared with her what I was doing. She said, Jack, you need to stay out of Al-Anon. Which Bill actually said, too. But I do use that piece of literature when I take guys through, because it comes from a place that I don't have the perspective. I don't have the self-awareness. I don't have the experience to look at it from that angle. And that guy took me through it. And I got to understand, you know, what these traditions, I got to see where they hit my driveway. Not how I act in a business meeting. You know, I got to see how it affected my family. You know, Tradition 1 is about common welfare. How's the common welfare of Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole right now today? If you had to answer that question, what would your answer be? It's divided. It's complete. There's a schism. It's completely divided. I'm going to talk about some things that are uncomfortable to talk about. And I can tell you that right now, in the world we live in, we should be driven to our singleness of purpose. We should be driven to it. We should be driving back into it. Because that's what that common welfare, the unity of Alcoholics Anonymous, is about: our singleness of purpose. The only pronoun we should use in Alcoholics Anonymous is alcoholic. That's it, nothing else. How many people do you think would argue or stop sending their money to the General Service Office if our preamble said, we're a fellowship of alcoholics? Argue with that. I was invited, when Zoom happened, I took a crew of guys from Brisbane, Australia, through the traditions and the concepts and the steps. And they invited me down there. I went down last August. Steph and I went down, and I did a weekend on the 36 spiritual principles for them. And I go rolling in, and I'm talking about some of this stuff. And they said to me, they said, you know, how's that going with the preamble? And I shared what I just shared with you. And they said that would work. They had an agenda item at their general service conference to change it. I don't remember what they wanted to change it to, but people was being disputed because there's a crew of people down there that identify as otherkins. I looked it up. It's a thing. It's not a thing I care about. I care if you're alcoholic. Do you suffer the same spiritual malady that I do? Do you have the same illness that I do? Are you the guy that no matter what happens in your life, you can't not drink again? That's me, man. That's the only thing we care about here. And yes, our steps are broad. You know, it's like the guys I sponsor, there's a bunch of them in here. There's some guys they sponsor too. They're like, Jack, it's always the same answer. Yes, it is. It's always the same answer. It doesn't matter what the problem is. In the doctor's opinion, it says that we get to a place where our problems pile up on us and become astonishingly difficult to solve. And every single guy, bar none, I don't care when it is in their recovery, and they're calling me on the phone, or they're sitting in my kitchen, they're complaining about the astonishing pile. Right? We all come in here complaining about the astonishing pile. If I could fix her, if I could fix this, if I could get more money, if I could move to this city. I mean, the list goes on. And the men that I cooked up with here in Texas, every one of them said, stop looking at the pile. The pile's not the problem. You're the problem, Jack. Let's take care of that. And I don't care how much time. It's the same thing when they call me 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years sober. They're staring at the pile again. And we can't get it off our eyeballs. And the steps take us away from that. The steps bring us to a place where it's me and God. But the cool thing is, I can't get there without getting here. I got to be with you guys. I got to be with the new guy. You know, I got the sponsor, Don. A lot of the men in here know Don. Don was excellent at making the approach. He taught me how to make the approach. And it was funny because the way I met him, he showed up at my home group. He talked about singleness of purpose. Showed up at my home group. I had a current experience in the steps. And I watched her bring him in, and they're overjeweled and underdressed for my area. And I'm thinking she's bringing him to a meeting. I think he's a new guy. And I'm watching the clock so I can beat 10 to him. And 9 o'clock hits, and I'm on him. I got a book in my hand, and I'm on him. And I'm like, I'm Jack. You got a book. What's the deal? And it took about 5 minutes to understand the terms of the relationship. He became my sponsor. He was 35 years sober and in town. I think he was 30 years sober at the time. He was in town looking at real estate, which is funny if you know Don. and they showed me what it looked like to be a principled man. And with what's going on in Alcoholics Anonymous today, you know, we're broke. We've been pulling money out of our prudent reserve for 5 years. It's down 30% from where it was in 2019. We got 6.5 months reserve. Not only are we taking money out of the prudent reserve, we can't put it back. Not only can't we put it back, our literature sales are plummeting. You know, and they'll put out they'll ask us for help and we'll buy more books. Every single publishing company on this planet has had to retool in the last 10 years. Every single one. We've been throwing money at the grapevine since Bill died. You know, we talk about the grapevine like it's a new problem. I did rotations on our area committee. I was the Northwest Regional Corrections Chair, then I was the Area 10 Regional Corrections Chair, and then I was the Public Information Chair for my area. And every year it's the same conversation about the grapevine. And I started looking into it with another guy at the area. And what we found was it's the subscriptions of the grapevine have been steadily dropping since 1971 or 72, and I could open my book and give you the date. They've been steadily declining. What happened in 1971 or 1972? Bill died. And he used that thing as a vehicle to communicate with us. And we read it. And we cared about it. And it had a message of depth and weight. And from that day till now, if you look at a graph of subscriptions and costs at the grapevine, it is like this. Because we don't use it. The concepts tell me that that we set up those corporations. There's two corporations, three if you include the General Service Board, that have legal ownership of Alcoholics Anonymous and our publishing companies. If you read the concepts, it says that we should separately incorporate them. Why? So they can be easily disposed of. He knew things changed. And we're so tapped into the way things have always been, we won't even look at it. Why do we have two corporations when one is just paying for the other? We're not using it. But how do we get that message where it needs to be as the owners of this thing? We need to do something different. We need to take ownership of Alcoholics Anonymous. We need to be... You know, it's funny because I'll need a haircut. I will take more time figuring out who's going to cut my hair and when than I will who's going to be my GSR in my home group. I'll take more time selecting an auto mechanic than I will selecting the GSR. I have news for you, that GSR could be our next delegate. That's where they come from. And then we have the conversation. You want to talk about unity and common welfare and singleness of purpose? That we'll have this conversation, and some of you will go out of here tonight, tomorrow, and talk about them. You'll talk about those people. You know, we're not a woke organization. We're not supposed to be. We're Alcoholics Anonymous. Nobody called me up and said start a Zoom meeting. I did it because when they shut the doors, there were probably six guys in my home group, men and women, that had less than a month of sobriety. Where did they go? And I can tell you that our home group was back online quickly. And we made an effort to go contact those people and make sure, through picking up the phone and making sure that they knew where we were. You know, nobody was pointing at... It's like saying that they shouldn't have shut the clubhouse down. They probably should have. I don't know what the right thing is. I'm not in that business. I'm in the business of carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous any way I can. And there was a lot of conversation about politics. I don't do politics. You know, we leave it at the door. You know, the woke agenda, we leave it at the door. You know, the General Service Office right now is throwing money at our 12-step responsibility. That's not in line with our traditions or our concepts. It's not in line with our steps. I am supposed to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'll give you an example. I have a niece. I don't know if she's a niece right now. If she was here, saw me talking about it, she'd be laughing. And she called me up. She's transgender something. And when she called me up, she didn't say that. Her mother called me. and said she's passed out in the shower and she's trying to cut her wrists. She didn't know what to do. The next day, I was talking to Ezra, and Ezra didn't ask me about her gender. She didn't ask me about any of that. She said, she asked me how she could stop drinking. Never even came up. Never even came up. It didn't matter. When we're dying of this thing, all the rest of that shit is outside issues. It doesn't matter. I've never once had a guy come up to me and say, hey, will you sponsor me? And I ask him, what's your gender? You know, what do you like to go by? I've never asked him once. I say, yes, of course. And I'll be here then. And we're letting all these things in. You know, we're doing brochures for LGBTQRS, whatever it is. We're doing brochures for the veteran. We're doing brochures. I was with a crew of Native Americans from South Dakota at a retreat 2 weeks ago. You know what their favorite piece of literature is? The Big Book. They don't even read the other shit. But for some reason, we think if we put another brochure out, it takes care of our responsibility. And there's an agenda item somewhere that came from some group that asked the General Service Office to do that. They don't just come up with this stuff all the time. The General Service Office, our service structure, throws money at our 12-step responsibility over and over and over again. And I'm not sure, I'm not saying there's not some things that we should be doing. I'm not saying that some of the stuff that they put out isn't good. I'm telling you that I was the corrections chair for Area 10 for a rotation. We have a pink can. You ever see a pink can? I don't know if you have them in Texas. It's sitting sometimes it's in the basket. It goes around the room, and it says literature for correction facilities. You guys have them here? Orange can. Okay, pink can in Colorado. And they would put it in the basket and announce the seventh tradition. And they'd pass the basket for contributions to our group. And people would put money in that can, and when I was the corrections chair, I'd ask them, do you know where that money's going? No. It's just for literature for jails. You know what we need in jails? People. You know how much money was in our budget for literature in jails when I was on the corrections chair? $48,000 sitting in the pink can fund. You know what the budget for the area for all the rest of the alcoholics in Colorado? The whole budget for the year was $42,000. And the $48,000 is earmarked. And our traditions and our concepts tell us we don't earmark funds. And I had the conversation as corrections chair with people out in my area, and I tried to get them to stop passing the pink can. What we need is groups. My group sponsors a meeting in a jail. If we need books, we get them from the group. When I was corrections chair, I went and talked to the Department of Corrections. I don't remember his title. The big guy on the Department of Corrections, the guy that runs the wardens. And we were talking about it. He said, you know what the number one thing we throw out in our jails are? I said, no. He said, big books. Because they clear out their cell and they leave the book. And I'm not saying it's not possible. We need to be bringing the message into jails. I know it was one of my mentors. I didn't hear him. I hear him more today than when I was with him. It was Don Pritz. And if it wasn't for Alcoholics Anonymous, we wouldn't have had that man in a penitentiary. But we need to be there. We need our local groups. You know, there's a prison. there's a prison that's probably, I don't know, 90 miles from where we live. And we drive past, I'm going to be conservative, 30 groups to take the meeting in there. And we've been taking the meeting in there for a long time, 40 years. And we drive by 30 groups. One of them's 2 miles, 5 miles from the prison. And they've never taken an interest. They're missing out, man. That's what I can tell you, is they're missing out. And so if we're the owners of this thing, are we taking ownership of it? You know? Is singleness of purpose and carrying the message? Singleness of purpose and common welfare and unity are the same thing. Because our common welfare and our unity are driven by our singleness of purpose. Myers read it earlier. We're here because of alcoholism. We're here because I have this thing. And that is the whole point of common welfare. That is the whole point of unity. That is the whole, you know, we talk about membership in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I know the short form of the third tradition. I don't care how you say it. I like the long form better. But I have news for you. It's membership in Alcoholics Anonymous. Don't you think we should act like Alcoholics Anonymous? That's what we're signing up for. That's great. You can come if you have a desire not to drink. But it's Alcoholics Anonymous. That's what you're signing up for. I wouldn't be here if I was not a chronic alcoholic. Because what we do here is hard. Some of the shit I've had to do here has been hard. It's been wonderful. It's been the greatest ride of my life. You know, when I went through the tradition, the concepts, before I go there, I want to say that somewhere along the line, we have to stop letting us throw money at our 12-step responsibility. Because for some reason over the last, I don't know how long, 25 years, 30 years, we've gotten into this habit. Look at the agenda of the General Service Conference. If you haven't and you want to see it, I'm happy to send it to you. I think it was 108 items on it this year. And I sent an email to my delegate right before the conference, and I said, listen, I think that the plain language big book should be tabled, not because it's a piece of literature, because of the process it went through. How many of you guys know what the process was? Not many. It's one of the biggest things that's happened in my lifetime. And we're the owners. And I said, it should be tabled. And I said that as far as the agenda goes, until we get our finances in order, I don't think we should spend another nickel on anything until we have the tough conversations that we need to have about what our business structure should look like going forward. And she texted me back pretty quickly. Mike was in the office when we were doing it. And she said, I agree with you. I also know that when it came up at conference, it got a majority approval. Why is that? How many people that have you guys talked to that have said, I'm all for it? I don't know what your opinion is on it. My opinion is that the process was wrong. It was railroaded. And when I say that, I want you to know that I'm coming at it from the spiritual principles. The General Service trustees on the board members are not supposed to stump for an agenda item. They're not supposed to climb on their soapbox and send out polished PowerPoints with all the things they want us to see, but then not let us see the book. Yet if you would climb on Facebook at any time in the last 12 to 14 months, you could find a PowerPoint that was put out by the General Service trustees or a past trustee that was in the pocket of somebody. You know, My sponsor tells me all the time that I need to bring the steps to service. When he first started saying it, I would parrot it, and I thought it sounded cool, but I had no idea what he was talking about. And what I know today is that, you know, there's some things wrong. You know, there's some problems that we should be paying attention to, and what the steps teach me to do is self-examination, talking to another man, you know, corrective actions, forgiveness, amends. I'm not pissed off that our finances are tough. Everybody's finances are tough after COVID. All the big corporations are having issues. But they're acting, they sent out a profit and loss statement that moved $1 million in debt to the next year. We don't do that. It's not something we do. They took down $2 million draws out of the prudent reserve in the last 14 months. There's no plan to put it back. And what's worse is if you would look at the agenda items on the conference agenda, there's, I don't know, 108 items, and there are pamphlets and changes and new pieces of video and things like that. For what seems to be, to me, being driven by spiritual principles and our singleness of purpose and our common solution to be a woke agenda. We're trying to be all things to all people. I'm trying to put out a pamphlet over here that speaks to the Native Americans. I'm trying to put a pamphlet over here that speaks to the veterans. I'm trying to put a pamphlet over here for this. I'm trying to put a book out that's supposed to, there's supposedly a need for. Maybe there is. I don't know. I know the process that it went through wasn't the process that's outlined in the spiritual principles that I know. It just wasn't. And at the same time, it made it through conference. And when we look at all of those things, I'm going to say it again. We should be driven back into our singleness of purpose in all of these things. Would anybody here have a problem if they changed our preamble to a fellowship of alcoholics? I wouldn't. And I was with a good friend of mine, Judy L., in Australia. She went with me. And she made me promise to put an agenda item in this year to have them change it to that. And I will. I will. I proposed an agenda item to table the, I actually put an agenda item in to let the, to put the plain language big book through the conference approved literature process. Because it was set up in the beginning to be a translation and they weren't going to take it to conference. And that's a fact. Because the General Service Trustee Board has a literature committee and they have authority to do translations. We're not even that good at them. You know, talk to the guys in Russia. I have. You know, they're not excited with the translation we did. And, you know, so I got to learn about the concepts, and the concepts give us rights. Right? The right of participation, the right of appeal, the rights that we're talking about. I used to think, oh, cool, my rights. Bang my fist on the table and demand my rights. What I forgot and what I missed completely because I'm so self-centered is that they're our rights. They have the same rights I do. I can remember I was probably, I don't know when it was a number of years ago. My son was probably 15 years old. and he got busted in school. Maybe he was 14. He got busted in school for the first time for getting drunk. And he comes home and he told us about it. I was at the Brazos conference and he called us. I'm in the car with Karen and Don. He calls us and says, Mom, Dad, I got drunk. I got in trouble. I'm like, I never would have called my parents. And we hung up the phone, and I went home, and I was scared. I'm thinking, here it goes. It's going off. He's an alcoholic. And I took his entire life away. I took his motorcycle away, his bicycle away, his freedom away. Anything I could take away, I took away. And he's pissed. He goes to his room, and he comes out the next morning, and he's pissed off at me. And he says, Dad, I want to talk about this. I said, why? He said, because it's not fair. I said, tough luck. I'm the dad. It's my job to keep you safe. And he said some things to me, and I went outside. And I go outside, and I do something. And I come back in the house, and he said, Dad, you know, I hear you on the phone. He's relentless. He says, I hear you on the phone with your sponsees talking about the right of appeal. Do I have the right of appeal? He's 14 or 15 years old throwing the concepts at me. And I said, no, you don't. And I walked back out, and it's about, I don't know, it was 125 yards to my shop. And I get down to the shop, and I'm just kicking stones, man. God dang it. And I went back in the house, and I said, what do you want to talk about? And we sat down at the kitchen table. He said, it wasn't fair. I said, okay, well, what do you think? I said, why do you think that? He said, because I didn't know the consequences. Shut me up. He changed my whole, and I've seen it happen in rooms all over Alcoholics Anonymous, where minority opinion comes up, somebody gets a voice, and it changes everything. And I sat down, I took out a piece of paper, and I put it on the kitchen table, and I said, okay. And I relinquished all the punishments, and I wrote on a piece of paper. I said, if you get caught drinking the first time, you know, you're grounded. Second time, you're grounded. And then the third time, you're grounded. And you got to go to treatment and come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I won't sponsor you. But we sat and talked about the whole thing. I gave him a voice. And he folded it up. He went away, went into his room. But my relationship with my son changed completely at that point, because I gave him a seat at the table. I listened to him. Completely changed our relationship. And I wouldn't have known to do that without the concepts. I wouldn't have known. I couldn't fathom that the concepts had anything to do with my family. And my son will tell you that it changed his life. Because all of a sudden he had a seat at the table. He was part of the family. You know, he went to college. And we were cleaning out his room after he moved out the second time. and I'm cleaning out his, we're emptying his dresser. And pulled some T-shirts and stuff out of there that he didn't take to college, and folded up in his top drawer of his thing. It's like 5 years later, and folded up in the top drawer of his dressers that list that I made. I didn't know it would change our lives, having that conversation with him. And that's what I'm saying today, is that we need to have the conversations. You know, we need to stand on our principles. Bill Wright wrote a leadership essay that's in Concept 9. And some guy said to me one time, he said, Jack, I want you to read it every day for 90 days. And I did it. And it changed my life. It changed my whole family. It changed my business. It changed who I am professionally. It changed who I am in my home group. And I know that this thing's my responsibility. It talks about four things in that, but one of the things it talks about in that leadership essay is sometimes we have to stand on our principles, and it's uncomfortable. It is. It's uncomfortable. We're at one of those turning points. We need to stand on our principles. We need to be the owners of this thing, and we do that by working within the system. How many of you guys blew up your family's finances? How many of you went through the steps and made amends for that? Changed that. Changed, an amend is to change. I was changed by the steps. And I haven't blown up my family's finances in a long time. But you know what my wife and my kids did? They kept being part of the family. We have some tough stuff to talk about. You know, there's a bunch of groups out there that are exercising the power of the purse. It's their right. Is it appropriate? I still had to pay my mortgage when I blew up my finances. I still had to make my truck payment. I got news for you. Everybody here was touched. I was touched by the traditions long before I was touched by the steps. You ask me about my first meeting in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'll talk to you about my chair. I'll talk to you about the coffee. I'll talk to you about the love I felt when I walked in the door. I'll talk to you about being allowed to sit in that room and listen. And I heard the magic. I heard that gift of identification that we hear here if we're in the right, if we're in the right meeting. And that's the traditions. I was touched by the concepts before I was ever touched by the steps. Somebody walked up to me and said, Jack, this book is yours. Where'd that book come from? For years, we have been a fellowship with a publishing company that supports our message. And today, I think we're a fellowship that supports two publishing companies. That's backwards. It's not right. But we're so afraid to have the conversation about possibly getting rid of one of those. We could take the grapevine and slide it inside AAWS and save an incredible amount of money. And all we'd have to do is give them editorial license, which is scary. If you're not living by these 36 spiritual principles, if we are, it's not scary at all. We're going to write a message that has depth and weight. We're going to use it to communicate the important stuff in the fellowship, or not. But there's no reason anymore to have two publishing companies. And every publishing company on the planet has had to retool. We don't buy books. You know, I can't tell you how many times I had a guy come up to me and ask me, a new guy come up a couple of years ago. Say, Jack, why do you carry your book everywhere? I said to him, because it reminds me that I'm carrying this message, not Jack's message. And that's, I'll always have a book. But I can tell you, some of the guys I sponsor, you tell them, look at page number, they pull their phones out. And I'm not gonna tell them that's wrong. Because the guys that are their age, that are coming in here and they pull their phone out, they know they're looking at a book. My home group, when we do readings out of the book, we have a large print big book with it highlighted so that whoever listens can hear that it's from the book. You know, it's not a handout, it's not a laminated flyer. We got a book that we get out. And we do that just so that a new guy that doesn't know what the hell we're talking about can see that we're reading from a book. But at some point, the books are going by the wayside. And I think somewhere along the line that all of this needs to drive us back into our singleness of purpose. And our singleness and purpose includes those 36 spiritual principles. That's all we do here, are the steps, the traditions, and the concepts. That's it. We carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I know I discussed some things that were questionable at best. But it's on my heart. And Tim said I can talk about anything I want. And, so if you got a complaint, talk to Tim. Thank you.